little what we call a library track. A library track is a piece of music that came off a commercial production library. That little library track would indicate to me that it's time for another Blind Like Me. Hi there, I'm Phil Parr, and it's good to have you with us today. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, it's nice to have you with us. This is about somewhere around show 180 for a second. I believe we've done that many of these, 180 and 200 and I think 221 of the Blind Handyman show. It's amazing that anyone would listen to that much or that anyone would bother doing that much. Anyway, here we are, and we are going to make a little trip today, and I've forgotten where this fellow is, but let's have him tell us. Hi, Gary. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing fine, Chief. Just hanging in there. We're in Springfield, Missouri.
Springfield, Missouri. Well, I bet it's cold up there.
It's cold.
How cold? How cold is cold?
Well, when the girls went to work this morning, it was 11 degrees.
Oh, that's got me beat by a long shot. I think we're 42 here, and I was complaining and bitching about how cold it was. 11.
Oh, it's about 25 here now, so we're warming up.
You are warming up. Heat wave in Springfield, yes, sir. Springfield, Missouri. Let's do. We had you and your wife Lisa on a show back before the first of the year, and you told us a little bit about yourself. But let's go over that again. You are not a young man. You're in your 50s, I gather, close to 60.
62, actually.
62. Well, that's a good age. I remember it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were on years ago what was at that time a big deal, and that was Horace Logan's Louisiana Hayride.
Yes, sir. Horace Logan was more like a father to me. He was managing a Safeway store there in Shreveport. And I would come to the store sometime during the week and talk to him. And, of course, Saturday night, Horace was the big promoter of the hayride. He and Henry Clay and Frank Page and a bunch of those guys were just super nice, nice men and extremely knowledgeable. And I was just like a son to Horace. I was the little boy of the bunch. And they all would come and kneel down and talk to me and ask me things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, what I thought about this, that, and the other. And it was just a great, great time. I loved it.
Now, Horace Logan, I thought he was the manager. He wasn't the manager of the radio station?
No. Henry Clay owned, well, okay, Mr. Ewing owned the Shreveport Times, and the Times owned KWKH.
Okay.
And Laura was his daughter. I knew her very well. Anyway, and Horace got around. There was Frank Page was the head announcer there, and I understand after about 50 years, Frank finally retired. But it was a long-going relationship I had with him. He broke a couple of our records for us and, you know, things like that. Just a super, super nice man.
I remember hearing Frank Page when I was a child. And then even in the 90s, after that radio station had sold two or three times, he was still there doing middays on KWKH in Shreveport. I couldn't believe it. I was over there. We were over there doing a little light gambling. And there was Frank Page still on the radio. Must be 80-something years old. Do you know if he's still alive?
As far as I know, he worked there. He came in 1948, he told me. And he broke in almost simultaneously with the hayride. And he was one of the big announcers, big booming voice.
Had a wonderful voice,
And he was there from 48 until, I know, 88, 98, I mean.
Yeah.
And he finally, I guess, decided to stop and smell the coffee. But anyway, he, tremendous announcer.
Yeah, I tell you, we're talking about the hayride. A lot of you folks don't remember the hayride, but the hayride at one time was a big, big deal. And I'm talking a big deal in that it had most or at least half of the major country artists that you heard on country radio stations throughout the nation.
At least half.
Were members of the Louisiana Hayride on Saturday night. That's where you heard them. It was as big as, maybe not as big as the Grand Ole Opry, certainly not as well known, but they had at least as many, let's just name a few. Jim Reeves, Webb Pierce, Farron Young, that's just starting things off. Elvis Presley in the later years of the Hayride. But Johnny and Jack, who were having big hit records. I don't think Eddie Arnold was ever there. Ray Price was there for a while. And, you know, that's at least half of the people that were having hit records back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. I never met Mr. Arnold. I understand, though, that he's a very nice guy, and I've got his address. I just got to go see him.
He would. I love that those old Eddie Arnold music with Roy Wiggins playing steel guitar. That just brings. That's my music. I love that stuff.
Little Roy finally died last year, and he had a music store for years in Nashville. I didn't know it. But, a lot of guys, you know. Eddie's still kicking. He's 87 or 88 now. He's getting up there.
Heard him on XM Radio not long ago. Bill Anderson, I believe, was interviewing him. Anyway, let's play some of your music. Now, this CD that we're going to start with, this is the commercial CD. This is under the name of what now?
Which one is it?
Well, I'll punch it up here and you'll see. That CD right there. What is the name of that group?
That's the Versatiles.
The Versatiles. All right, and this was done long after Hayride days.
Oh yes, this came in '66.
Okay, well, not that long. 10 years after the Hayride.
A little more than that. I was out. Actually, when I was in school, I played when I was home. But,
okay.
It just, of course, tragedy struck in '59, and that just ruined the show. I mean, it went, and then Horace took a bunch of the guys, Bob Lumen and a bunch of the others, and made a movie out in Hollywood called Carnival Rock. And that thing, I don't think I've got the video of it, but it started out as a mediocre flop. And now it's emerging, the market is changing, and that thing is getting to be one of the real classics.
That's amazing. Now, you say tragedy struck, and what happened in '59?
Well, Mr. Clay took off in a thunderstorm. He was flying in his plane, and he took off, and a lightning bolt hit it, and the plane crashed.
And he died.
Yes.
And he was the owner of the Shreveport Times and of the radio station.
Air to it anyway.
Yeah, air to it. All right, let's play this little tune by the, what did you call it? What was the name of the group again?
We are the Versatiles.
The Versatiles. Gary and the Versatiles, you want to name some others that are on here or not?
Well, Charles is the guy that sings with me on lead. And the three girls with us are ours. That's Pat and Linda and Jan.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And then the boys, it's funny, the boys with us are a Beatle band. And we converted them to play sort of a rockabilly style.
But it is rockabilly. Now, is your last name is Philroy also?
Mine is, yes.
Yes, and this is your group, the Versatiles.
Yes.
Here we go.
Hazel eyes, long blonde hair, there's a way I'll make you care.
Fades.
Yeah.
Fades a little bit from there. That, you know, that sounds very rockabilly. That's, if you had done that in 1955, you'd probably had a nationwide hit on it.
Probably. As it was, we darn near did it.
Is that right?
We had Signs of the Times was a double shot from that, and we had the number one, in the top 10 over 8 states for 4 months with that particular record.
With that side?
Mm-hmm.
Which was then on a 45.
Yes.
On a little, what we used to call 45 records. You kids don't remember those, but they were a little record with a big hole in the middle of it.
And I can still send you some of them if you want them.
Oh, Gary, don't bother. I've got a couple thousand already. I got access to a radio station, didn't want any, and I took everyone they had. So I'm
right on. I've been there and done that.
I've got quite a few. All right. So the hayride. Were you raised in Shreveport? How did you get to the hayride?
Oh, Lord. Well, I was a little country boy back in the backwoods of Arkansas. If you go about 20 miles north of DeQueen, which is about, I'd say, 50 miles north of Texarkana, then you would be pretty well in my old stomping ground.
Okay.
And when I was a little bitty, I mean like about 2, I learned to sing before I could talk, so they told me.
Yeah.
And so I had a few favorite announcers, Ray Bartlett and Frank Page and a few people like that. And so my dream was to someday go and meet these guys that I would hear on the radio every day. I listened to them very faithfully.
On KWKH.
Uh-huh. And so one day this group of Masons heard about me and came up and said, "Son, if you could have one wish in your life that you wanted, what would it be?" And I said, "I want to go see the hayride." And so a couple weeks later, here they come and got me and put me in an old dilapidated Plymouth, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a 1936, something like that. And we went to Shreveport. And Saturday night found me with Mama staying home. She regretted it, but she had to stay home. And so it found me backstage at the Robinson Auditorium. And
at the Louisiana Hayride.
Yeah. And these guys would come up to me, and I remember Red Savant, big, tall feller.
I forgot about
him. And he come and kneel down for him, you know, and talk to me for a while, and then, Tillman Franks and Slim Whitman and Johnny Horton and a bunch of those guys. And during the course of the interview, Slim said, "Hey, I heard you sing." And I said, "Oh, a little bit. You know, 4-year-old, shoot, I didn't know no better." And so he said, "Well, can you sing my songs?" And I said, "Well, I guess if the band can play it, I can sing it." And so about 10 minutes later, here come this introduction. I heard it backstage. "And now from the big 50,000-watt station, and here they go introducing this new artist, and it's me."
Wow. Wow. What a thing.
And so Mama liked to die. She just couldn't believe it because she was sitting at home listening, and, you know, here comes this big booming voice. And so I went out and sang Love Song of the Waterfall. And that led to bigger and better things. Tillman came and talked to me about recording for Mercury. And I said, "Well, I don't know. Let me check with my parents." And so my dad said, "Well, if he takes that contract, I'm going to quit and drink up everything he can make." And so I said, "Well, I can't do that."
Yeah.
And so I said, "Just hold it, and when I get out of school, I'll come back and see you." And Jerry Kennedy was my buddy. He and Tommy Tomlinson were around, and, of course, Jerry later on became the president of Mercury's country music division. And so I was kind of, from then on, in and out with the big wigs. I sang sometime on the hayride when I was home, and sometime I didn't. The one thing that I did blow, and it was an honest mistake. Why I made it, I still don't know. Ernest Tubb, we must have done 100 remotes with him on bands and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Ernest was the head of the Opry. All I would have had to do would be just say, hey, Ernest, when are you going to let me come sing up there? And he said, well, come on. Because he knew I was good, and I knew, you know.
Yeah.
But I just never did it.
Really?
Yeah. We sang every show just about it but there. But we even sang with Bill Carlisle.
Ernest was a very gentle, nice fellow. I mean, he was truly a gentleman. I'm sure he took good care of you. I'm sure he was very nice to you because he was just that sort of person.
Oh, yes.
And you're right. All you would have had to said was, Ernest, I'd like to be on the Grand Ole Opry. And he would have said, well, son, come on up Saturday night, and we'll put you on the Ernest Tubb Record Shop.
Sure.
And see how it goes from there. I know exactly what he would have done.
Sure.
But you didn't do that.
No. That was one mistake that I truly made, and I'm sorry for it. If I had it to do over, I'd do it again. But we had our own group, and they could have all, you know, played and sang up there. In fact, the group of girls that they're there now is so sorry. Ours was 10 times as good as they were. And we'd have probably still been right there.
We all make mistakes in our musical careers. But they had you on the hayride when they could and when you could. But you mentioned several that I'd forgotten about. Not forgotten, but I didn't mention Johnny Horton and Slim Whitman and Red Sivan. Now, Love Song of the Waterfall, I wish I'd known that I would play that. I have it on CD. And has a lot of falsetto. Could you do that yodeling or that falsetto part?
Yes, I could then. I can't now.
I could then. I can't now. But age takes its toll, doesn't it?
It does. I used to do anything and everything that Marty Robbins did as well. And I can do it, but the next day my throat is just like,
Devil woman, don't bother me. I could do it at one time. I tell you what, let's play another song. Do you want to play something else off this CD, or you want to go into the gospel CD?
I think if you can cue it up, we have a song on there called I Must Dream.
Do you know which cut it is? Do you know which cut it is, Gary?
Not right offhand, no.
How about if I just move down and you tell me when to stop? How would that be?
Okay, because this one features me and Charles. When the Stanley Brothers had flowers on the wall, people in seven states thought it was us.
That's not it.
No.
Tell me when. No.
No.
You tell me when. No. No.
Right.
All right. We're just easing through the CD here. Is that it?
No.
No? Well.
All right, now, hold on. This was the first big hit that we had. This is a thing called Tell Me Baby. It was number one over 15 states.
All right, well, let's play that, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Tell me, baby.
So strong that you cannot hide. Do you mean it when you say you belong?
sound strange to you, but that's the way music was done in 19, I don't know when that came out.
66.
1966. That's the way we did things. That would be very, thank God for electronic tuners, right?
You got it.
Because we all were able to tune our whole guitar. Now, that you say that song did quite well for you.
Yes, sir.
In fact, last
year I tangled up with some friends in Canada, and the lady said, wait a minute, I think I know something. And she got up on the Internet and downloaded the thing. It was all the way up in Canada, and she downloaded it from the Canadian archive.
Wow. That's all right. You say that was on Mercury Records or what?
No, that was not on Mercury, actually. That was on Hardco.
Uh-huh.
We never cut anything on Mercury, actually.
You never did record for Mercury?
Uh-uh.
I'm amazed. Now, that song wasn't country. That was a rockabilly or rock and roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we wouldn't be rock and roll now, it'd be country. That's what they play on the country stations now. But that's another story.
Yes.
All right. Let's go see if we can find it. And this song you're looking for is on this CD, you think?
Yeah. It's about three or four over.
All right. Let's move over and go ahead and play it since we... That's not it. No.
No.
No. Is this it? No?
Uh-uh.
Okay. No?
No.
Well, that's it, right?
That's it.
All right, let's listen, Gary. Everybody knows you, but baby, you're on my mind. Baby, you drive me wild every night. And I'm never going to grow up and you feel this way. Everybody knows that you're going to stay. Everybody knows that I love you, and I don't ever go from you. Every time we kiss, I lose track of time. The clouds disappear and the sun starts to shine. You know, little girl, you'll be just fine, my baby. My baby. All of our friends know you mean everything to me. They may realize that our love will always be. Everybody knows you, my baby. You know my mind, baby. Baby. Our guest is Gary Filroy from Springfield, Missouri. And Gary, you sing in harmony or the lead there? Hello? Did he drop out? Oh, no, there we are. I had a switch wrong. Excuse me.
All right.
Excuse me. Are you singing harmony or lead there?
I'm doing all of the lead work.
You're the lead man. Are you playing guitar on that or not?
I didn't play lead on that. The man who did used to play for Stan Kenton and Bob Wills and a few other lesser-known guys.
Is that right?
He just happened to be one of our old buddies, and we were sitting in. We cut the master in a bedroom.
That's the way a lot of things were done back then.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way many things were done back then. If you forgot, Elvis Presley recorded in his house most of his hits that he's,
yeah.
And he's in his living room, believe it.
Uh-huh.
Or not. People wouldn't believe it. So you actually were able to make a living one time in the music business.
Oh, yes.
You traveled and worked every night, show to show, riding around in a car, riding around in a bus, or what?
We didn't ride buses too much, primarily cars.
And you would go from here to Oklahoma City, and then from Oklahoma City to New Mexico, and just traveled all around every night playing little places, schools, and or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's primarily it. Only we traveled out of Baton Rouge. There were a lot of really talented people there. And so we played, we founded a show called the Old South Jamboree with us and the boss's daughter.
All right.
And that thing, we played for, about, I'd say, 7 or 8 years there. And we used to pack the place every night. I think they paid us to shut up. But anyway,
anyway, we thank you. That's all that matters.
We managed to do all that, and we had girls and stuff with us. It wasn't like a full-blown orchestra, but we played for the love of the music.
Yeah.
Not for the pay. But we just loved it, and we did it. We enjoyed it thoroughly. And we had some pretty good kids with us that made us sound good.
And you had a booking agent who would book these places for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go into town and go to the local radio station back then.
Yes. And little jingles, interviews, and, you know, stuff like that.
Try to get them to help you promote your show that you were having that night.
And yes, we had a Bardol show. I wish I had some tapes, but I thoughtfully didn't save them.
Yeah.
We had it for about a year and a half, and Bardol was our sponsor. And I did the MC work
really?
As far as announcing and stuff like that.
Yeah, Bardol, I remember the name. What did it do? Was it an auto product? What did Bardol do?
Yeah, an auto product for the tank.
You put it in and it made your car run better.
Mm-hmm.
Bardol. I remember the name, but I know that I may have even used it, but I didn't remember what it did.
Here's so Lucky Carbon riding with you tonight. That thing. You'd remember that slogan if nothing else.
Carbon riding. That's funny. I love it. And mm-hmm. So you all would sing their little jingle on stage?
Oh, yes.
And they were your sponsor. In other words, they bought your uniforms and
mm-hmm.
Paid you a certain amount to advertise to them every night?
That's right.
That's pretty amazing. Now, what all in the group? Upright bass? Did you have upright, or had they graduated to electric back then?
Oh, my goodness. Our bass man used to play for Hank Williams and Ray Price and whatever.
Uh-huh.
Lum York died last year. And he was quite a character. Now, you'd have to understand Lum. He was, Cindy was the only girl singer we had usually. And he would forevermore tease that child.
Now, he played upright bass.
Yeah.
So you had to carry that around on top of the car, or how did they do that?
Usually on top of the car, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard some horror stories about that. Now, Cindy, who you referred a couple times to the boss's daughter. Who was the boss's daughter?
All right, Lester Hodges was the owner of the Old South Jamboree and was a millionaire Bardol distributor. He was where the main money came from.
Okay.
That financed us.
All right. And Cindy was his daughter?
Uh-huh.
And so she traveled with you. Did she have talent, or was her daddy just trying to make believe she did?
Cindy, as a lead vocalist, was darn good. She had a good voice. I've got a couple tapes around here. I'll see if I can dream them up and send you.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. So Cindy sang lead. If you had harmony singer, Cindy was all right.
Yeah. Charles and I did backup for Cindy when she was doing stuff like Too Many Rivers and things like that. Primarily ballads. We kept her away from, she did Let's Go All the Way and How I'd Love to Be Alone with You and, you know, things like that.
Uh-huh.
But the primary thing was me and Charles. We were the showmen, and both of us had combos on our own for years, and we just decided to join forces and did a lot of writing and whatever, and I think we're fairly successful.
Now, you refer to Charles. Charles is not in your life anymore. You're estranged
No.
from Charles. You and Charles had a falling out.
Yeah.
More or less. I kind of gathered that from the, more or less. Yeah, I gathered that from the first time I talked with you that you probably, had. All right, I'll tell you, let's look at this gospel CD if we want to. What is the name of this first song that I have queued up on here? I have the first cut on the,
This CD. Is Would Christ Hear Me, and it's a long song, actually. It's 4 minutes and 40 seconds, I believe, something like that. Those chili and onions are sure good.
They were good, weren't they? I'm on a diet. I can't have that.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I finally got some Wolf brand chili up here, and I was just right on delighted.
I imagine you were. All right, now this is 4 minutes long, and it's a gospel song, and it's called what?
Would Christ Hear Me? And it's a true story.
All right, and this is you and whom singing with you?
Charles and I have the lead, as usual.
Okay.
Well, I'm on lead, and he's on harmony.
He's singing harmony with you.
Uh-huh, and our girls are backing us.
You say our girls. Your daughters?
No.
Our girl. Who? What do you? What do you? What
our
do you,
girls. Just some girls that sang with us. We hired them and said, "Okay, we want you to do this way."
And you call them our girls.
Yes, they are part of the Versatiles. Yes.
All right. Here we go with this song. It's called what now? I forget again.
Would Christ Hear Me?
Would Christ Hear Me?
Guide me from before.
guest Gary Filroy, along with his friend, don't stop that, it's along with Charles, and a little gospel song for you called Would Christ Hear Me? And that that was what year, Gary? You remember?
This came out in 72.
So we, and you recorded that. Was that recorded at a home also, or in a studio?
Oh, that was a studio recording.
Yeah, with electric bass and the girls and everything in tune and a nice piano player.
Charles, I have had occasion to work with Floyd Kramer and Donnie Huffman and Jim Hudson and a bunch more. And Charles was as good as any of them. I mean, he could flat out play.
Well, if you worked on the hayride, you worked with Floyd Kramer because he was there during yep. during the Horace Logan Frank Page days of the hayride many years ago. You forget about Floyd Kramer, but he was the staff piano player there with the what do they call them, the Lump Lump Boys, I think was he.
Yeah, something like that.
The band.
He made an album called Chunkin' and Thunkin' that I got to get.
You think it's out of print, probably?
Oh, yeah. It definitely is.
That was back during the Abbott record days, back during Faber Robbins. Did you ever know Faber Robbins?
Well, I married his granddaughter.
You did?
I sure did. Lisa's his granddaughter.
Lisa is Faber Robbins' granddaughter?
That's right.
Well, I didn't know that. I'd have been nicer to her if I'd known. No, only kidding.
Yeah, well.
Only kidding. Just kidding. I didn't realize that.
I know. She beats.
See, Faber Robbins, they had quite a record label going there at one time. Abbott Records?
Yes. Actually, I knew Mr. Reeves, and according to a lot of the reports, he was very abusive to his wife and whatever else. But he never was to me. He was always just as nice.
We're talking about Jim Reeves.
Yes.
I never heard the stories about him being abusive to his wife.
Yeah, supposedly the thing that she said was the best thing he did for me was to die.
Boy, that's a terrible thing to say.
I know, but that's... Sherry Williams is a good friend of mine who did record for Mercury, and she and I have kept in touch for years.
Sherry Williams that lives in Nashville?
Uh-huh.
I interviewed her not long ago.
Ah, and you know...
Has a wonderful voice. She's a very talented
tremendous.
Lady. Just very talented lady. Should have... she told the story about... They said, you know, as soon as we get through getting Reba going, we're going to get you. And by the time that happened, she'd lost interest pretty much.
Well, her husband had cancer, and he was the one that was the door opener for her. Out on the road, it's tough for a woman.
It's tough for anybody, much less a woman.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah. And she was familiar with the Reeves family, or she knew Mary quite well?
Yeah, she knew Mary. Mm-hmm.
I've met Mary one time at some opening of something, and I can't remember what it was, but I had no idea that Jim Reeves had a history of spousal abuse.
Yeah, apparently he did. Of course, that's just like Nat Stuckey, who, I don't know what he did, but he was so raunchy, his band walked out and left him in the middle of a show.
Is that right? Now, I never met him. I used to hear him on KWKH years ago when he was doing the old, remember the Red River Roundup every night?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
11:30 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started listening, a guy named Dave Chase was doing that show.
Nat used to work at United Jewelers as a salesman. And I would go by and talk to him and, you know, I mean, we were buddies.
Uh-huh. Had a pretty good hit on Sweet Thing, didn't he?
He didn't do bad with that one, except Stan chipped him out of the money.
Well, that happens quite often. That happens more than you'd know with record deals. The artists, if they don't get out and make it on their own as a performing artist, they usually don't make any money.
Yeah, well, he wanted to take Signs of the Times, and we couldn't arrive at a deal. He offered me like a tenth of a cent of copy royalties,
yeah.
And I said, no, it's going to be three or it's not going to be.
Yeah.
And so we just didn't hit.
Yeah. Yeah, the artist is low man on the totem pole. The lawyers get all the money. But Nat also had a pretty good record. I'll never think about standing on the corner with my guitar and my... That come,
yeah.
Just made my son come up this morning. I thought it was a great song. Should have been a big hit for old Nat Stuckey. Anyway.
He, when he changed from RCA to Columbia, they really... really put the screws to him. He couldn't do the stuff that made him.
Couldn't do the old stuff?
No. RCA turned him loose and let him with Sweet Thing and Old Woman and things like that. But Columbia said, no, we'll pick your material and you'll sing it the way we, you know.
Yeah.
And he just failed.
Yeah, do you want to go try to get in the music business, or you want to stay at this jockey? It's what do you do?
Mm.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do. We're running kind of not low on time, but running kind of low on time. Let's try to play something else off of this first CD. Let me just stumble along here, and you can.
You would need something short.
We do.
Well, probably.
How about this? Is this a good song? Do you recognize this?
No, I don't.
Really? It's on your CD?
I know it.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, let's move forward then. See, that's obviously the last cut. We played this? No.
Oh, that's from the a master that we cut and took to Nashville.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I thought they would laugh us out of the studio, and they said, get back home and cut a full session.
Sounds like a nice, easy ballad. Let's listen to it, all right? Do you remember the name of it?
That is a thing called Tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Here, let's listen real quick. Cut a full session, or did you not?
We did, and we improved that last note. I missed it.
You improved that last note, huh?
I missed it. When I said gone, I was about a half step flat.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't notice it. What, at some point you had to say, well, this music business isn't going to get it. I need to find myself a job. When did that happen? At what point did that happen?
Well, there was this little brunette. I was like 23 and single, and I was making about $300 a week and just coasting. But she had ideas about settling down with a husband and family. And then I said, now here I am, a no-good bum. She ain't going to look at me. So I went to piano tuning school. and breezed through that.
Yeah.
Came out a full-fledged tuner. And for about 30 years, had my own business as a tuner technician. And I made pretty good money. But by then, she had married somebody else, and anyway, I got caught. So we played music wherever we went. We tuned pianos wherever we went. The occupations just kind of fell in together, and I had no complaints whatsoever.
I'm sorry, I was queuing up something. And you tuned pianos and sang music and played music at the kind of the same time?
Yeah.
Well, I never thought about doing that, but I guess I did kind of the same thing. I'd play music at night sometimes and tune in the daytime.
Same deal.
Kind of the same deal. But the hayride really went away in about the early 60s. It folded up. I don't know, you know, why. I guess the death of the primary source of funds had a lot to do with it, right?
That and people just wouldn't come to see it. We tried to get the Robinson Auditorium remodeled,
yeah.
And the city council screwed around as usual, and we'll do it, but we'll do it later. And one by one, the stars started leaving, and of course, without the stars, then there was no reason to remodel it.
Yeah, a lot of those folks ended up on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
The Farron Youngs, the Jim Reeves, the people like that ended mm-hmm. up. And of course, Elvis Presley went on to have a pretty fair career in music himself.
Yeah, he didn't do bad.
He didn't do bad. But and also, you know, Scotty Moore and Bill Black did fairly well also.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just end of the, and they tried, I think, several times to revive it. It just is not, television is here and it's just not revivable. It's not, you know, you can't go back.
That's it. And they had a Shreveport Day last year, and my sister just begged me to come back and try to be instrumental on that thing. And I said, forget it. It's dead. It's gone. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, it happened. It came. It went. I would, however, like to have a box of Southern Made Donuts if I could find them.
And how? And
yeah.
How? I had a many of them.
I imagine you did. Southern Made Donuts. They were a major sponsor of the Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of lesser-known acts. I remember a girl they used to bring on at the end named Carolyn Bradshaw. Do you remember her?
I do. She had I Like It and Loose Talk.
Well, another fantastic group that came from there were originally Jim Ed and Maxine Brown from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yes, I knew them well.
Used to come down and sing, and then they added Bonnie and had lots of hits.
And they also added Norma.
They added who now?
Norma.
I don't know about Norma. Was she another sister?
Uh-huh.
I'll be darned. I didn't know, but I saw Maxine and Bonnie and Jim Ed, all three, at this thing called the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame about 7 years ago. And Bonnie was in a wheelchair. Was it Maxine? Maxine was in a wheelchair and could barely sing, but they sang something, Looking Back to See or some one of their tunes. Let's see where we are. Here we're about 51 minutes. We got about time to play one more gospel song. What is your life like now, Gary, as a retired? I guess, do you try to play anymore or do you play anymore?
No, I can't. My arthritis is too bad. I can't.
See,
I can record about one song and I'm just screaming the rest of the day.
Oh, is that right? That's no good at all.
No, so I had to hang them up.
Well, you're probably better off. There's no place to play anymore and nobody understands our music anymore. And
well, if I'd go back to Haggard and he'd put me on tour with him right quick.
Well, if you could do that.
Yeah, if I could do that, I'd be in business.
Oh, wouldn't we all? I'll let me know, and I'll go manage you, carry your guitar case for you.
I'm telling you, Merle Kilgore.
Merle Kilgore. Is he still alive?
No, Merle died about 2-3 months ago.
Merle did a show with us in Houston, and after the show, he came up to me, and he said, son, I want you to stay right here in Houston. Don't go on the circuit. We don't need you.
Yeah.
Meaning we don't need that kind of competition. So I took his advice and did. All right.
Merle was quite a guy. I knew. He used to carry Hank Williams' guitar for him, and I didn't know that.
Well, I know that he managed Hank Williams Jr. for a long time.
Yeah, well, Merle got around. He was quite a character.
and got his name put on several songs, wrote several songs, and I guess probably made a good money. Probably left his heirs pretty well fixed from songs.
I think maybe he did, because from There Stands the Glass on, he was launched.
He did pretty well. I tell you, we got about time for one more gospel song. You want to pick something? You just want to take the next one, or let's see.
I'm Gonna Ride is kind of short, and it's a good up-tempo deal.
We are here. Like this, or go on down.
I don't know what that song was.
How about this right here? That sounds pretty good to me, kind of an up-tempo
gospel.
Okay,
do it.
Listen, Gary, I want to thank you, sir, and we're going to run this weekend, so you listen and see what you think. Let me know, all right?
Okay, boss, sounds good.
Tell Faber Robbins' granddaughter I said hello.
Right, we'll do it.
You do it. Gary, thank you, sir. We'll talk.
Sure.
All right, let's play this last little song, all right? Here's Gary Philroy.
When Gabriel Bowie's crossed the border, it's time to leave your knees.
An email address before we go. If somebody wants to get in touch with you and talk about music, Gary, give us a quick email address.
Rafi, that's RAFFI. This is all in lowercase now.
Okay.
RAFFI at MCHSI.com.
And that will get to someone in touch with you if they want to talk about music, or you can tell them about downloading music. You've got a lot of music available, and you can talk to folks about that when they email you. Thank you, sir, and I'll play this weekend. I'll visit with you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Gary Philroy. I keep forgetting his last name. Gary Philroy from Springfield, Missouri, has been our guest with lots of good music. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll do it again next week. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, come and give me a call at 936. Push this button at 936-634. That's Jaws talking in the background. 936-634-9500. Or Phil Parr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, all lowercase, at Consolidated, consolidated.net. Phil Parr at consolidated.net. That'll do it. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Gary. Bye-bye.